You can almost hear the cheers of the crowds that gathered on that day, what we now call Palm Sunday. However many people there were that lined the road on that day, they laid down their garments, they put palms on the street. When their garments ran out, the occasion was festive. They hailed their Savior, their champion, their hope. The relief, the suffering that was in their lives would come through this, their champion. The pardon for their sins and their lives would come from this Jesus. Restoration he brought. Acceptance by God he brought. Wow. Perhaps that scene was familiar of familiar times in the past. In a military context, it could look as if Jesus were a returning triumphant hero. Or it could look from the other side that he was a triumphant hero who was going out to do battle. Did they realize, as they sang those hosannas that first Palm Sunday, did they realize that he was a champion going out to face what was looming before him? He was on his way to do battle for you, for the world. Do we understand that? No one relishes locking into mortal combat with any enemy. The parade, a Palm Sunday festival, is far more preferable than facing an enemy. But there was only one parade like Palm Sunday's. Among all the pomp and circumstance of every career of every man and woman who had ever served in any armed forces, there was only one parade like Palm Sunday. It is the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. The culmination of those words, he set his face toward Jerusalem. The scripture's way of saying that he was going there to accomplish the final and the greatest task for which he was sent by God the Father in the first place. He would lock into mortal combat with death. He will have grappled with the devil himself. He would carry the sin of the world. He would serve your time for you in hell. All to fulfill the Father's will, to consummate God's promise of redemption to you, to fulfill everything that the Scriptures said, to accomplish redemption, to bring victory over sin and over death and from hell, to bring it from the realm of promise made to promise kept. He would prevail. He did it all for you. For us in modern Christianity, Palm Sunday is a note of joy. I think I said that earlier this morning. Amidst a season of penitential reflection, somber Bible stories, stories about betrayal, denial, injustice, mockery, and execution. Palm Sunday. It is that one time in the setting of all of Jesus' passion and death where we turn our attention to the happier things, to children, to uplifting songs instead of somber ones. But we must remember that concealed inside every loud hosanna is the cross at that terrible place they called Golgotha. It's Hosanna. Hosanna means save, Lord. Save, Lord. But there was a price for that salvation. That staining every garment and staining every palm branch laid before him is Jesus' own holy, precious, divine blood. That lining the path between peace with God and man are not just cloaks and palm branches, but the precious life of the Son of God. The divine, it is necessary, hangs over Jesus and everything about those days. That governed everything. Palm branches might indicate peace, yes. But peace, ever since sin, always comes with a price. One price. Only one price. The lifeblood of the incarnate Son of God, the Palm Sunday Son, Jesus. But with Jesus' death, there is victory. It is with God, all of the things that are taking place from Palm Sunday through Holy Week, it is to God victory, not defeat. True indeed, the loud hosannas shall fade. Yes, they shall. The cheers shall subside. Matthew taught us today that Jesus' enemies, the religious leaders at the time, persuaded the crowd even to ask for Barabbas. And Pilate said, "Who?" But the hosannas shall subside indeed, right down to one single voice. A voice that is relieved, a voice that is exhausted, a voice that speaks one word, tetelestai, to you and me, it is finished. And then once again, following the stony silence of the Sabbath day, the single voice will expand into a crescendo. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him. It is the victor's song again. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, today there is cheering. Today there is loud celebration. Today the loud hosannas fill the air. And the people, you and me, we cheer him. If we didn't, Jesus had said once before, the very stones would cry out with the triumphant voice. This is Jesus. His very name means Savior. Salvation is what Palm Sunday is all about. Now, I know the people that were cheering up there, they were misled, unled, or whatever you want to call them at that time. They might have been cheering for every other reason under the sun than for the right reason. I don't know. God's word points you past all of that. Leave the speculation to the so-called journalists today and CNN and all of the rest of the news guys. Look to God's word. Look to the plan of God the Father for you, for your redemption. Jesus is there fulfilling it for you. This is God's beloved Son, the Father said, in whom I am well pleased. So look instead to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look instead to the only hope there is for this life and for the next. Many of those who cheered him on that day, I believe, certainly hoped that. Now the Romans, they didn't bring it. Oh, they brought the wonderful Pax Romana, the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. How wonderful, isn't that great? By military might, they posed the death threat to anyone who would dare to rise up. Is that the peace which they desperately desired in Israel, those who sang the song of Palm Sunday? Is that the kind of peace you and I would look for? I think not. Bring heaven on earth. Listen to the empty words of promise. Utopia. By whose standard? That of another sinner and his government? So much for peace. The Jewish religious leaders, they didn't bring it. They didn't bring it either. The Pharisees and the Sadducees continually challenged Jesus. They were threatened because they believed that he threatened their power base over the people, even though he taught them his kingdom was not of this world. They used the temple not to hear God's word and for prayer. They used it to conduct business. Teaching about the kingdom of God? That was fraught with Pharisaic regulations and works righteousnesses of every kind, and ceremonies and sacrifices that were without any spiritual content. The synagogue itself? That was about what the people wanted. They wanted the leaders in their synagogue to teach them the 10 steps and the 4 principles and the 7 components, etc., etc., of what a successful life is. It was anything other than a place to hear and learn God's word. Caiaphas, the high priest, spoke it. He said, "Is it expedient for one man to die for the people?" Ride on in majesty, ride on in lowly pomp to die. So much for their kingdom. And you and I today, do we gather like the people did there on that Palm Sunday? Because our hope is in Jesus? Do we gather because we know that we are hurting and guilty, and we know our life in Christ is in need of an overhaul, and we're powerless to overhaul it because we are dead in trespasses and sins to do anything about our sins? We worry that our family isn't the family we would like to have it be, or that things in our relationships are not turning out the way we would have liked? Do we have that lack of fulfillment, that sense that's in us because we're reaching for all the gusto we can out of the world and it always leaves us flat, never satisfying, driving us to get more and more, and more is never enough? Does life too often show itself hopeless? Because every time you take a step forward, you get shoved 3 steps back. And when the devil gets on your back, you can't get him off your back because in sin you are dead and there's nothing you can do about it. You're locked into falling for that temptation that you know is wrong, and yet you do it anyway. And you dare not let a soul know about it because you'd be shamed and disgraced. The marks of the deadness of sin. Are you scared that your relationship with God is not what you think it should be? Are you scared that if something should happen to you, would heaven be on the other side of what happened? All of that is just another modern version of Pharisaic self-righteousness. We cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. We are weak and dead in trespasses and sins. We cannot deal with them. You cannot get yourself right with God by throwing down your own kind of palm branch or cloak to pave the way for Jesus. All of that will lead you to the same place. Fear of living and scared to death of dying. Because you did not. You cannot. You could not live up to God's standard at all. Which is why there is Palm Sunday. Today there is cheering. Today there is celebration. Today the loud hosannas do fill the air. The people cheer Jesus, and so do you. The very stones would cry out if they did not. Jesus is the Son of God who came in the flesh for you. His very name means Savior, your Savior. Your salvation is what Palm Sunday is all about, thanks be to God. For Jesus came for you. And he came, as Matthew told us today, to go to that cross. There you see the glory of God. There you see what kind of the greatness of a God that you have. A God that would go to the cross for damned sinners and die for them. If he didn't go there, without the shedding of his blood, there would be no forgiveness. But he has accomplished everything for you. He has given you your faith. He has baptized you into that faith. He has buried with you by baptism into his death. He has raised you with him in his resurrection. He did it all for you so that you might be assured that you have victory over the grave. You have the promise of the resurrection of your body. You have eternal life in God's heaven forever and ever. You have Palm Sunday, and that Palm Sunday is for you. No wonder this morning you can almost hear the cheers of the crowd who gathered on that day. However many people there were that lined that road, they laid their garments and they spread those palms before our Savior. And this morning, the palms that we laid this morning are in token of our own lives that we lay down before our Savior. And he picks us up, carries us in his arms, takes us into his own flesh, and carries us to the cross where he dies for us. And on the third day, he will rise to give you every assurance that you are redeemed, restored, and forgiven before God. We join our voices with the people of Jerusalem on this day, this festive occasion, to hail our champion, our hope. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes for you. In the name of the Lord, thanks be to God. Amen.